Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you, your blood, and the planet. Starring the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Thank you for asking. Aren't you starring yourself, too?
I'm just the co-host, executive producer, and chief bottle washer.
Yeah. So incredible that we indeed we are the stars of this program, but I don't think we should make as big a deal of it as some would expect.
Well, you know, I've been having some problem with the paparazzi lately, and I know you have been too. They've been running all over the place, following me in my car, clicking pictures and trying to sell them to McLean's and Chatelaine and Good House Living Keeping, and I think that the group's getting smaller and smaller as they starve and die off, because of course no one's buying those pictures.
It's a total shame, I think.
So the last few weeks we've been talking about cleanses, and we started with cleansing the colon, because if you don't cleanse the colon, all the other cleanses you do just end up stuck in the colon and you don't really get rid of the toxins. And then we went to the liver cleanse and then the kidney cleanse, and now we're ready for the final
stage,
the fourth stage, which is cleansing our blood.
Yes.
Which is kind of a weird feeling,
talking
about that.
Absolutely. So far we have been describing how you cleanse by doing more. You know, we were telling how you can cleanse the colon by taking probiotics and more prebiotics and the proper intestinal cultures. Although we have also talked about how you can use the colonics or enemas to wash out the debris. With liver, we were talking about the supplements that you would take, you know, the mineral supplements, but also the herbal supplements that you could take, like Dr. Miller's tea, for instance, that's very stimulating to the liver. And when we talked about the kidney cleanse, we talked about, again, the supplements that you can take, which are parsley, lemon, you know, things that make the kidneys more efficient. But in this last stage, we need to focus on the last supplement, which is nothing.
Nothing. That's quite a supplement.
Yes. Yeah. It reminds me of nobody for president, because nobody cares. Nobody.
Right. So
anyway, so the issue indeed is that when you want to cleanse your blood, you actually need to rest the body. You actually need to stop the inputs so that the outputs can continue.
You've said that before, and when we've talked about other health issues people had, and I love the way you put it, which was stop digging the hole. The first thing you got to do if you have a problem is stop digging the hole and then go from there. And this kind of reminds me of that sort of philosophy. It's like, okay, we're going to let our body cleanse the blood, so let's not stick anything into the body that's going to toxify the blood. I don't know if that's a word or not, but
but if, even just your basic normal metabolic process, you know, if you eat a dinner, the body has work to be done. You know, if it's cooked food, you need to deal with making the enzymes that are going to deal with it. And, of course, in come the calories, you need to deal with that. You need to raise the insulin levels so that you can put away what is not immediately required, and you need to deal with the minerals and vitamins and whatever else is in that food.
Mm-hmm.
Whey, issues like that. So when you skip that step altogether, the body can just focus on cleansing and repair, nothing else.
So I think what you're really saying here is that the body naturally cleanses and repairs if we give it the opportunity, and of course that's something that we don't seem to do too much of.
Right. Yes. Well, there have been religious scriptures talking about this. You know, the popular Old Testament, which is the basis of both the Christian, the Arabic, and the, well, I should call it Muslim, and the Jewish traditions, it all has in it a design that you take one day a week of rest.
Right. On the seventh day, rest.
Seventh day, rest. And it was really meant to be to shut down, to, number one, not work, number two, rest, number three, rest so completely that you don't even intake food. And it's been since then sort of perverted in many ways. You know, it ended up, well, don't eat meat on that day, only fish, or don't eat cooked food, you know, like in the Jewish things, the writings, you know, you're not supposed to cook food, but then they'll kind of let you eat stuff that's already been prepared some other time.
As always, we always try to find our way around the letter of the spirit of the law, right?
That's right. The spirit is lost while the letter is somehow baited.
It said, no cooking. Well, we cooked yesterday, so we're just eating it now.
Yeah,
we kept it warm.
Right. They only meant in the daylight, so after sunset we can go do anything.
That's right. On the seventh day he rested, so that was not the night.
Yeah, that's...
So we'll eat at night.
doing the right thing, huh?
Yes, it's like we're all lawyers, aren't we? How can we get around the Ten Commandments?
Right.
It wasn't really my neighbor's wife. It was the guy three doors down. Yeah. Honest. I wasn't greedy. I just was hungry.
Yeah. I didn't lie. I just withheld some facts.
That's right.
Yeah. I did not have sex with that woman. Thinking of Bill Clinton, I don't know if you remember that famous line. I'm sorry. It was so comical because, of course, in that same conversation, he asked people to define the word it.
Yeah. What do you mean, it?
No, pardon. I think it was the word is.
Is.
Anyway.
What do you call sex? Based on that very, very narrow definition, I can unequivocally say, no, not me. Didn't do it.
Yeah. Okay. So, in that same direction, we can say, what is the original intention of this commandment? It was to allow the body to rest.
And we do that absolutely never in our society today, by and large.
By and large, that's the problem. And I have to admit, I'm a sinner myself, because by the time... I start out so many times with saying, oh, I'm not going to eat today. And then by the time dinner time rolls around, something shows up. And
you eat it.
I eat it.
Well, it takes discipline and persistence. And I think one of the things that I've noticed as I've been taking the Excellence on an ongoing basis and some of the other great Life Enthusiast Co-op products and then following... a lot of the things that we talk about in the podcast is I really do see a difference in the way I feel, the way my body looks. And I'm actually really surprised with the impact hot yoga has been having. I know I keep kind of talking about it, it's sort of my thing, but I've gone from, I think, stirring up lots of toxins in my body to stirring up, hopefully, you know, having most of them gone. And so I stopped digging the hole, and I wouldn't say that I'm eating a pure vegan diet or a pure vegetarian diet or necessarily a pure diet of any nature. I mean, I don't eat hamburgers anymore from McDonald's, but and I eat lots of, you know, salads and that sort of stuff. But I think during the day, you know, some of the things that I put in my mouth would probably get a tisk from the, you know, Puritan. Very, you know. So I'm not saying that I feel like I've prevented myself from having anything that I really wanted to eat, although I think I've got a lot better habits as we've been talking. But I was just thinking the other day about how much better I feel now than I did 20 years ago, and I'm just amazed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a similar story to tell. You know, at 57 now, I feel a whole lot better than I felt at 35 or 36. Yeah. I remember then I was 2 inches bigger in my waist. I was I was suffering with allergies. I was suffering with metabolic stress. It was pretty bad. I mean, I was unable to function.
Right.
Anyway,
let's get into this cleansing our blood.
Yeah, that's more like it. So,
how do we do it?
Best cleanse of the blood is when you do less. So, number one, drink water, lots of it. Number two, you can drink juices. It's best to do vegetable juices.
Okay.
There's really popular potassium drink. Okay, that's on the purification system. So, if you are not a purist, at least do the V8. If you have to buy something, I certainly am not a proponent of pasteurized juices. Okay, don't get me wrong. I really believe that these things should be made fresh.
But if you don't have a juicer and you are not going to be juicing it, no matter what we say, go get some V8.
Right. Now, your better choice would be one of the superfoods that we offer.
Mm.
It'll contain that and more, and will be very light load. You know, the energizing superfoods that we have available, they're consisting of things like spirulina, chlorella, barley grass, wheat grass, alfalfa leaf juice. You know, light things. Things that are completely compatible with this blood cleanse concept.
Cool. So that's the Exela brand.
Yes. So you don't have to starve yourself. You can you can get some food into you.
Yeah. It's and nutrient-dense food, too, by the way.
And calorie-poor food.
There you go.
So yeah, you want to be ingesting foods that are really not taxing your digestion. So here's the recipe for the famous potassium drink, which is 2 large carrots, 2 stalks of celery, 2 radishes, a handful of spinach, and a handful of parsley, green parsley, in a blender. A really cleansing juice would be the ABC, apple, beets, and carrots. That would be 2 beets and 3 carrots. That is a both blood and liver cleansing juice. If you would stay on that for 3 weeks, you would probably change your life dramatically.
Right. So would you add any like garlic or ginger to this?
Can be. Ginger is stimulating, so it will push on the elimination. It will cause your body to want to get rid of things faster. Also, cayenne is from there, cayenne pepper. Some people are really comfortable with that. Others don't do too well on the hot. So that garlic, yeah, garlic is a strong flavor that pretty much overpowers everything. Garlic is a bit of a double-edged sword. It's a brain disruptor. So it will very successfully deal with infections, both bacterial and viral, but it will also knock you back as far as your spiritual advancement.
Oh.
Yes. If you take a large dose of garlic all at once, it really knocks you back a few notches.
So take it sparingly.
But that's okay if you need to kill off some infections. I would just assume kill off some infections than not.
Right. Right.
Then something for the evening. Some soothing, calming teas. Chamomile is really popular for soothing and calming. It's the best anti-inflammatory herb that there is. You know, it can be used topically too. I've seen I'll use the on, you know, on the face, on sores, on whatever.
Very cool.
So that's that. I think we're making it too simple, aren't we?
Well, it doesn't have to be hard, right?
Shouldn't be. No, isn't. So, just to lay it all in larger perspective, this sort of blood cleansing, you might want to take a day out of a week or a week out of a year. You know, some people do a 10-day, some people do even a 40-day fast. The 10-day, typically, it's called the master cleanse, where all you ingest is water with lemon juice, with maple syrup, and some cayenne. That's the cayenne is the stimulant irritant, the lemon juice is the pH balancer, and, you know, fluids. Without water, you won't last. So that combination alone would be very good at helping your body to get rid of all the metabolic waste that needs to get rid of. So whether you do 1 day or 3 days or 7 days of it, it really will depend on the state of the health. I remember reading this story of a fellow that's done this, you know, general purification. I'd like to share this. This is really quite neat. This starts.
Okay.
25 years ago, I was so incapacitated by arthritis that I was practically bedridden. After trying all the available medical treatments, consulting dozens of doctors, and several fruitless stays in hospitals, I was becoming progressively worse. My hands and fingers were stiff and in constant pain. I could not bend myself, walk, or even turn myself in bed. In addition, I had a chronic over-inflammation and a constant migraine. I was suffering from a bad case of insomnia with resulting nervous exhaustion. I was chronically constipated. So it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I felt hopeless. Nobody could help me. I couldn't see any way out of the indescribable suffering I had to endure. But my spirit was strong and I wouldn't give up. I was not willing to accept my lot as a bedridden invalid for the rest of my life. Found a book by a British physician, Sir Robert McCarrison. It opened my eyes to the relation between nutrition and health. So I started to experiment, changed my diet, I fasted, I drank fresh vegetable juices and broths made with cooked vegetables, I drank herb teas, I took enemas, and utilized colonic irrigation to cleanse my intestines of accumulated toxins and waste. I read all I could on the nature cure methods and picked up ideas here and there. I started making living foods. Took heat treatments and hydrobaths.
Wow, he went all out.
Right, well, it was a she now that I'm looking at it.
Oh,
but anyway,
she went all out.
Yeah. Imagine my surprise when I started to feel better and better. The stiffness in my joints started to disappear. I slept better. Pain gave way, and after just a few months, I was, to mine and everybody else's amazement, completely cured. This was 25 years ago, and I never had a sick day since. No traces of arthritis.
Cool.
So, what do you say about that? Do you have a person that is completely sick, bedridden sick with arthritis, and then lives like that for 25 years, then discovers that life could be different, cures herself completely with juicing, fasting, and raw food and living food diet, and then proudly displays the flexibility and health. So, who wants to join us?
Yeah, I think that's a great story.
Yeah, and it illustrates it well. You know, illustrates the fact that that you can manage your health, and it starts in the colon, and it goes with the major eliminative organs, and ends with finally managing the fluids.
Right.
Well, and of course the lymph that goes with it. Any questions?
No, I think we've actually covered that. I was just actually going to look and see if there's anything else that we wanted to talk about in terms of really this last part is fasting, letting the blood rest and letting the body kind of clear out the stuff. It's a natural method of healing. And we see that in the animal kingdom, right? When an animal gets ill, it fasts. It stops eating. Of course, it's, you know, can't hunt if it's sick. And, you know, it occurred to me when I was young, and if I got the flu or something, it was usually, you know, here's a couple bowls of soup, and I had no appetite and wouldn't eat either. So I think we tend to forget what we normally do when we have an illness. And of course, when we're just talking about overloading our system, we don't necessarily end up being bedridden, so we just continue piling on the toxins, right?
That's correct. So the suggestion would be then to remember that cutting the calories at least one day a week is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. And that's when, like we've talked about our addiction to food before, this is when you really understand and see how addicted you are. And, you know, when it's like for me, 8 o'clock in the evening, I'm opening in every cupboard in my kitchen looking for something to stick in my mouth. And I'm not even, like, if you stopped and asked me, I wouldn't even really say I've got this gnawing hunger in my stomach. I've just got this, I got to have something.
Yeah.
Is
it still with you, or is it diminished?
No, actually, after I said that, I thought, I can't remember when the last time that happened. But I remember it happening, right?
Of course.
But it's not the same now at all.
It's the carb addiction, carbohydrate addiction. Where
yeah.
we, you know, when you start your days with high calorie, low nutrient density foods like, you know, the breakfast cereals that are oh so popular, oh so promoted, when you start your day with that, it sets you up for a cycle that ends up exactly as you described it in the evening, again, searching for some more calories because you have set up these swings. These blood sugar swings, you know, when you start early in the day with high calorie, high glycemic index food, it calls for a lot of insulin. So as soon as you eat it, you know, the body goes to work, says, oh my God, this is a lot of energy, we need to sweep it clean here. Then the amount of insulin that's released to match it is actually too much. So you will have a rise of the glucose levels and then a fall. So all of a sudden you'll be hypoglycemic. So then you go back, you feel terrible, you need to eat more, so you create another wave and another wave. And so by the time the evening arrives, you're on this last swing where your energy is crashing and you need to feed it. And the only way you can feed it is quick fix, which is sugar and carbs.
Right, right. I was looking at this other article recently, and while I don't know that we would want to make the jump that they did, one of the things that happens when you have a fast is you get more human growth hormone released more frequently. It's an anti-aging hormone, and it's also produced more efficiently. And it goes on to say the only reliable way to extend the lifespan of a mammal is under nutrition without malnutrition. And so then it talks about this study, and here's where I don't know that we want to make the jump, but they performed a study on earthworms, and it's just fascinating information regardless. And it demonstrated the extension of life due to fasting. So it was performed in the 1930s, and they isolated one worm and put it on a cycle of fasting and feeding. And the isolated worm outlasted its relatives by 19 generations while still maintaining its youthful physiological traits. And once the size, you know, so as the worm started to get smaller, because obviously it was starting to use up its body for energy, they would resume the feeding. And and it showed great vigor and energy. So this lifespan extension of this particular worm was the equivalent of keeping a man alive 600 to 700 years. So I'm not. Maybe. We're not saying you're going to live 600 to 700 years, but it makes me kind of wonder when, you know, you talked about the Bible before, where they talked about these people, when, and they said, you know, they lived 900 years, they lived 500 years, they lived 700 years, and I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe they were following just these specific laws and commandments, which we kind of worked our way around, and maybe they actually did live that length of time.
Right. Yeah, Methuselah and his children.
Yes.
Well, so what do we say about that? I have read another study where they were doing this on rodents, mice and rats, lab rats, and they call it the calorie restricted diet. And they would essentially, you know, have a test group that or control group that was allowed to eat however much they wanted, and the other group was given 30% less. So they were always a little bit hungry. Not too much, just a little bit. And the life extension there was 30 to 40%. So, you know, I don't remember the exact typical lifespan of a mouse, but if it was 3 months on the regular diet, it would be 4 months on the restricted diet. So I guess if a normal person would live 90 years, the restricted diet person would live 120, according to this. And in fact, it's quite popular out there. There are people who practice calorie-restricted lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
They count, and they just limit themselves to 1,800 calories a day type of things. And it's, you know, when you eat mostly raw food, it's very easy. In fact, I remember when I went vegan raw, I lost such huge amounts of weight. I remember I was looking like a returning prisoner of war kind of look, you know, emaciated almost. Because, you know, when I was eating only raw, I found it difficult to eat enough calories in a day.
Right, right. That's the thing. That's the amazing thing, right? Is you can be eating so much, but because it's raw, nutrient dense, calorie poor foods, you're not. It's not like eating a Big Mac, right?
No. It takes a lot of work to eat 500 calories when you're eating it in raw. And, of course, I saw some of the calorie counts on the restaurant meals. And it's, you know, 500 and 600 calories is no biggie for these meals.
Right.
So there we have it. Calorie restricted. Join us on nutrient-rich, calorie-poor foods. Again, back to the superfood blends.
Yeah.
You know, with these shakes, they will keep you satiated, but they will not add calories to the mix. So you will keep a trim waistline, sunny personality. I mean, one of the reasons that people are feeling miserable is because they're acidic, and the reason they're acidic is because they have eaten too many calories, especially from carbohydrates. So consider it.
That's right, and you can certainly try it for a short period of time and see how you feel. And maybe once you've tried that, you'll realize that it's pretty important to give your body that rest.
And that's what we should give our listeners too.
We're going to give you a rest.
Yes.
For the next 7 days. So and then we'll be back.
We'll be back. Yeah, I promise we'll be back. We'll be back with yet another theme, completely different. You just watch.
Or
anyway,
listen.
This is, listen, sorry about that. You're going to watch with your ears.
That's right.
If you want to read more of this education material, you will find it at www.life-enthusiast.com, especially in the health education section. If you have a specific health concern, just head into the health concern navigation. And if you are just confused, reach us at 1-866-543-3388. We'll help you get unconfused.
That's right.
This is Scott and Martin restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening.
See you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.